This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. If you've got a pile of get-rich-quick and find-love-now guides piling up in anticipation of the new year, well, you're not alone. The so-called self-improvement market was worth a whopping $9.9 billion in 2016. That includes everything from personal coaching to weight loss programs to self-help books. And my next two guests, well, they have a little experience in this area.
Every season, we live by 8 books, and we live by each book for 2 weeks at a time. We're currently about halfway through our 4th season of the show, so that means we've lived by over 30 books so far, right?
Yes.
Am I doing my math wrong?
I don't know. I didn't do any of the math. I was going to lean on you for that mental math.
Jolenta Greenberg and Kristen Meinzer are co-hosts of By the Book, a podcast that's half self-help advice and half social experiment. So as we head into 2019, I asked Kristen and Jolenta to walk me through the best and worst advice that they followed for their show. And we began with one book they could both get behind.
Well, I think Jolenta and I agree on one book very much that we both took something away from, and that was Zero Waste Home by Bea Johnson. Going into it, I think, Jolenta, thinking that we already were doing a pretty good job as far as our personal practices. We both recycle. Neither of us own a car.
But I figured growing up in Portland, Oregon, just like counted towards me. You know,
automatically.
Like, zero waste. I grew up in Portland.
Yeah, even our feminine products are reusable and so on. So we thought that we were going to go into this thinking like, this will be a breeze. We'll just live our normal lives, but it really improved our lives.
Yeah. Really? What was it about it specifically?
I mean, for me, I had not been a composter until living by this book. I sort of thought of it as something people did who had space in their yard, you know, to have a big compost heap. And this book made it much more approachable. She has a whole section for like how to compost in a small apartment.
Which
I have
is
a little
so
container
important.
Now. Mm-hmm. I keep it in the freezer, which I learned from the book and Kristen.
And one thing I really loved about the book actually is I think that there are a lot of us walking around in this world with some low grade or maybe even high grade anxiety about the state of the environment. And it can feel paralyzing. Like, what can I possibly do? I just feel useless. I am part of the problem. But I think because the book has so many simple little steps you can take every day, it can help you feel a little bit more relieved about the world and to feel like you're not just part of the problem.
Okay, so we talked about Zero Waste Home. Let's talk about, Jolenta, your next pick for good advice, which was A Girl's Guide to Joining the Resistance by Emma Gray.
Yes, yes. This is a great book if you are most likely a woman, and felt sort of maligned or disappointed by the 2016 election. That's Emma Gray's into like, how do we enact actual change now that we're a group of just really angry, vocal women? Because protests only go so far. And what I really liked about this book was not only its sort of crash course in history of feminism vibe, but also it pointed out the importance of just finding and creating safe spaces.
But tell me what a safe space is.
Right.
That's not, I think it's one of those things that's gotten like, you know, people make fun of those,
right,
that terminology.
Like, this is a safe space.
Right,
like, this workplace is safe. Ha ha ha. Like,
what does
we're
it
all
mean?
Wimps.
Like, how and why did it resonate with you?
Just means a place where, you know, you can hang out with some like-minded people who are most likely, you know, fighting the same fight as you. It's a place where you don't have to explain where you're coming from, a place where the crushing reality of the world and sort of what you're up against is able to fall away, and you're able to remember like, oh, I'm not alone in this fight, even though I'm the only woman at my workplace or in my family who thinks this way, which is important because I think we forget how lonely it can feel to feel like you're like going up against the man.
Yeah, that's a pretty lonely feeling. I've been there. Now let's talk about bad advice, because you guys have also read some pretty bad stuff. Kristen, you had a meditation guide that didn't really resonate with you.
Yeah, this is a book called Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics by Dan Harris.
I fit the profile.
You love to meditate.
No, I'm a fidgety skeptic.
Oh, you
skeptic,
are.
I assume. Yeah.
I hate meditating.
Yeah,
I can't do it. I absolutely cannot stand it. It does not bring me joy. Mm-mm. It brings me frustration. It brings me irritation. And I absolutely hate any book that is written from the position of all people must do A, B, C.
In order to find X, yes. Y, Z, right? Yeah.
Yes. And in the case of this book, not A, B, C, but just A. Everybody must do A over and over and over again. And I just... I was so irritated by his preaching about it, but then also how he practiced it in his own life seemed like a horrible example to follow. But I know that he's wildly popular. I know a lot of people get a great deal out of meditating. I know that his book is one of the most nominated books we've ever lived by on our show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We faced a lot of heat for not vibing with it.
Are you kidding? For being able to complete a 2-hour meditation?
I always say meditation fanatics have no chill when it comes to defending meditation.
And if you love meditating, go for it. I'm all out here applauding for you. If that's what you want
to
do, go for it. But please don't tell me I have to do it too.
Wow. I won't mess with the people who meditate.
Mm-mm, never.
All right. Jolenta, what about you? You had some choices that you said were just bad advice.
Right. A recent book we read was Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. And it's supposed to be like hip young advice, like, girl, wash your face. But the whole premise of the book is that we are unhappy because we are lying to ourselves about certain things, and we're choosing to believe those lies. It's just the truth, the way of the world. And it sounds good on paper, but a whole book about, you know, don't lie to yourself about this area of your life and that area of your life. Like, stop saying you're bad at sex. Stop saying you're a lazy mom. Like, these are all lies. It's just... it's a negative vibe.
It's not positive reinforcement.
Yeah, it's very blamey, which then gets into the territory of just, you're only unhappy because you're lying to yourself, and it's all some mental trick.
Fault. Right.
And it totally discounts things in our lives we can't control that make us unhappy. You know, different institutions and biases we have baked into our culture. That's not an individual person's fault if they feel like their happiness is sort of bumping up against, you know, sexism, racism, classism, like anything.
All the isms.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, there are people who are going to pick up a lot of the books that you've already lived, pick up some of the books that you all are going to be looking at this coming season. So the question is, how does somebody decide what's good advice or what's bad advice from those books?
Pay close attention when you're reading the book. What strikes you the wrong way? What sounds like it's laying down an absolutism? Because there's no such thing as absolutes when it comes to living your best life. Everybody's different. And what works for one person isn't going to work for everyone. Not everybody's life is going to be better by waking up at 4 a.m. in the morning, for example, even if one book claims it. And the adherents of that book may want to believe it, but there's somebody like me then who's just going to be a rageaholic all day. So it doesn't work for everybody.
If you're up at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I would just say, remember, regardless of what kind of book you're reading by whatever kind of self-proclaimed expert they are, like, you are an expert in yourself and your life and how it works. And you can definitely take away good advice. You know, I will forever fold my socks differently after having read The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. But I'm not going to do all the stuff she does. You're allowed to pick and choose. You're not like a bad life improver if you don't take it all on.
And on that note, Jolenta Greenberg and Kristen Meinzer are the host of the Buy the Book podcast. Jolenta is also a comedian, and Kristen is the author of the forthcoming book, So You Want to Start a Podcast. Thanks so much, ladies.
Thanks so much for having us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.